And so if you're not getting deliverance, you don't know what you're missing. You really and truly don't. And so, you know, over in Africa, when they get saved, they bring them in, and the first thing they do is deliver them. They take them through and break the family curses, generational curses over them, and then they deliver them because they have generation after generations of idolatry in their families. And, of course, in America, people don't understand deliverance because the pastors don't do it. And, of course, if you do it, and some pastor finds out that you do it, then they're going to come against you and say that you're a witch or some crazy thing. So you have to just be committed to God to get people free. You really and truthfully do. Pray for those that are not in church. When you see the church drop down like this, it means somebody or powers are working against the church. Amen? So just pep up your prayers a little bit and keep the church covered with the blood and the people in it. And the people that you know that are not in church today, just pray for them during the week that God will strengthen them, that they can come to church. Amen? Sometimes people have to work. We have a working group in our church. Sometimes they're just too tired to come to church, too, because they work so hard. Amen? Today, I'm going to teach you about authority and powers. Every Christian needs to know these things so that they can walk in peace with God, so that they can walk in victory over the devil. Amen? It's most important to have victory in your life. Now, that word power, it means strength, might, force. It means to have sway, actually control, it could mean, over others. Now, nobody is supposed to control you. And really, you're not supposed to control others. But there are powers that will try to control you if you let them. Amen? And if somebody's trying to control you, then what happens is that is a form of witchcraft. If you're trying to control somebody else, practicing witchcraft. And many people try to control other people in the name of good. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts and convinces you of good. The devil convinces you of evil. But you're the one that has to willingly choose your pathway. Amen? And if somebody, even in the name of good, is trying to control you, that's a form of witchcraft. Amen? And we do not want to use that kind of power. What we want to do is to teach you how to walk in the power of God to stand against the powers of the devil. And so now, do you have your Bible today? Amen. Amen. Like Joel Osteen says, wave it up. Amen. Mm-hmm. There you go. It's important to learn the Word of God. And when you're under a teaching, if you don't want to turn to the Word, sometimes I don't usually turn to the Word, but some people do. Get you a little paper and mark it down and look it up later so you understand. Now, there's no other person in history or in the universe that has more power than Jesus. Jesus, in Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11, says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the sea are and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. So these scriptures are describing the universal divine power of Jesus Christ, which is above all and all. There is no power. If you took all of the witches and wizards and devils in the whole world and could get them in one place and speak the name of Jesus, they have to bow their knee. They have to obey. And that's what you have to understand in order to begin to walk in victory in your own life. To understand the power of Christ is the most precious gift that anybody could ever teach you. Because you never know when you're going to need the name of Jesus and his power to work in your life. Amen? Now in verse 20 it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now the right hand is significance of describing that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. At the right hand of God designates that he is sitting there with the power of God. And we see also in verse Ephesians 1:20, 23, it says, the word says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express, excuse me, I got that wrong. This is Hebrews 1, 3, and 4. The express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So this scripture shows us that Jesus sat down at the right hand again, and that his power is greater than the angels. That's the angels in heaven, the angels on earth, and the angels in the underworld. The angels in the second heaven, his power is greater than all of those angels. And it's good to know because, you know, we just saw that false revival going. What were they talking about over in Lakeland? Angels. Angels. Not Jesus, but angels. And so it's important for you to know that Jesus is the center of your faith and that you get a concept of truly who he is in the spirit realm, because he can always overcome for you. The Bible says that he, in verse 21, Ephesians, it says, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of all things in the church. So he's already conquered the devil. Jesus is not coming back to conquer the devil. He's already done that. The Bible says that he made an open show of them. Through his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, he conquered the powers of hell. And so you have to see the devil totally defeated, totally conquered, and understand that no matter what you can think, no matter what you can conceive in your mind, Jesus can do it. The Bible says all things are possible for those that believe. And so sometimes things look so big to us, but they're nothing to him. He can do anything. And if you can begin to learn about that Jesus, get him out of the manger. Yes, he came in the manger. Yes, the angel said that he is God with us. And all of those are wonderful scriptures because it shows that God came into the flesh. But you know, like the Catholic Church, it just seems to me when I was going, they kept him in the manger, and all of their teachings are on the cross, dead. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but he resurrected to conquer death just for you and me. So get the right perspective of Jesus and understand that by these scriptures that we just read, that he truly is the Son of the living God. He's superior to all of the angels. And let me give you a little bit of warning. We don't talk to angels. We don't pray to angels. We don't pray to saints. We don't pray to the dead. Jesus is our mediator, and he's our only mediator. And Jesus is also our high priest, and he sits at the right hand of God. Now, Jesus earned everything and is heir to all things. Somebody wrote me today on my computer, and he said, "Do you believe in the prosperity message?" And of course, I believe that God gives us prosperity. I believe that people do better in their life, in their mind, if they can get a hold to Jesus and know who he is and serve him, they'll have a better life, no question about it. But you know, some people run after God just for things. But other people run after God because they love him. Some people have no interest in prosperity. Other people, that's all they think about. But the most important thing is to connect into that one that made the universe. The most important thing is to see God in his radiant glory and beauty, and that he is holy. And he said, "Be ye holy as I'm holy." And so if we get about the Father's business and we study his word, read his word every day, and ask him to plant that word in us and give us a true perspective on the word and who our Lord Jesus is, and we begin to see Jesus as the representation of Jesus is the representation of God, then you begin, any little thing that happens, you turn to Jesus instead of people. You know, there are people that just turn to another person. But if you learn that you can turn to him in the quiet of the night, in your prayers, or while you're riding down the highway, and you know that whatever's going on, he is the answer, then you will begin to see that he can do all things. The Bible shows that he sustains all things by his power. And that means he holds everything together by his power, by his word. And, you know, they call them atoms, the scientists do, but Jesus holds the atoms together. And, you know, it's interesting, I did a little newsletter a couple of weeks ago on when you die, how no matter how you die, if you're burned, if you drown in the sea, If a bomb came and exploded you into a billion pieces, no matter what, when the time comes for your body to be resurrected, even if it's scattered and intermixed with all other bodies, many other bodies, God will call your body back together, and it will come back together, all of your atoms that he made just for you. It will come back together, and it will have your exact identificational marks on that body to meet the Lord either in the air or at the judgment seat. And people will know you that knew you on this earth, and God will know you. Now, if your God can do things like that, don't you think he can do anything? I mean, that's mind-blowing. An atom is so small they can't even see it. And yet we're all made up of all of those atoms. Those pews are made up of those atoms. Everything in the universe is made up of atoms, stars, moons, planets, people. And yet, your particular atom, no matter how you die, if you die, where you are, God has his identification mark on you. So you need to have the assurance that he's concerned about you and that he truly does hear you. And you need to know that his blood sacrifice brings purification to your soul. And this purification gives you the privilege of stepping boldly toward or before the throne of God to talk to him, to tell him, to speak to him as a friend, but also to worship him as your God. Jesus is sovereign above everything, above anyone. Some people run to call Oral Roberts or some other big shot that they think they know. But if you'll learn to run to Jesus, you'll get the answers to every single thing. Amen? God is big. He's glorious. But the most important thing about God is that he loves you. The other most important thing about God is he hates the devil. He loves you, but he hates the devil. The devil is his perfect enemy. And so if you think that God is sitting up there enjoying you walking through some of the demonic things that you walk through, he does not get any kind of pleasure in that sort of stuff. He wants to see his church militant. He wants to see his church victorious. He wants to see you above everything, able to overcome. And you know, in the book of Revelation, the Bible says that the overcomer will be the ones that will enjoy heaven. So you need to strive to become an overcomer, to know him in his greatness and in his beauty and in his power. Amen? And so the Bible in 1 Ephesians chapter 17 through 23, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I want you to read it when you get home. You will see that Paul shows the power relationship between the believer and between Jesus in Jesus's exalted position. Now, in order to see the power of Jesus, you have to truly understand that Jesus is not dead, that he's very much alive, and he's very much willing to do those things that you bring before his throne. And not only that, but he loves you, he listens to you, and then once he hears you, he can distribute his power to you if you're a believer. Amen. And so the Bible says in verse 17 that God gave our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, you cannot understand these things that I'm telling you today unless you have that spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation of who he is. And so these are things that you need to pray about concerning yourself. Lord, let me know you as you are. Lord, reveal yourself to me through your word. Because you see the difference in the knowledge of Christ, as many churches teach Christ, let's say like many churches teach a historical Christ. Oh, yeah, he was born. Yeah, we have the Bible. Yeah, I believe the Bible's true. But, you know, I got cancer, and there's no way I'm going to die. My mother died when I was when she was 50, and now I'm 50, so I've been diagnosed with cancer, and so I guess I'm going to follow in her footsteps. Well, that is the words of the devil. That's his plan for your life, right? And so what you have to do is say, oh, no, I'm no longer in that family, the physical family with its curses. I'm in the family of God. Amen? Like Jesus, when Mary and his sisters and brothers came and he was ministering, they said, your mother and your brothers out there, who is my sister? Who is my, in other words, who is my worldly family? I'm here in the midst of my spiritual family doing the work of my Father. He was letting people know that you are born in that material, physical family, but when you get saved, you belong to a spiritual family, which is much, much more powerful than that physical family. And all of the baggage and hexes and curses that come down with that physical family, when you stand against that and say, no, I don't receive that. I am not going to receive that I'm going to die at the age of 50 with a heart attack because my father died and his father died at that age. I'm going to believe that God is in control of my life, and I'll live as long as he wishes me to live. And the Bible gives promises of 70 years. So I will live and praise the Lord and speak his name every chance that I get. And you change your confession about your life and who he is and his promises to you. But when you receive that, understand that it's just not vain words that you're speaking. It's reality. Your spiritual life has to become more real to you than your physical life is. It has to become more sure to you so that you can totally overcome. And so Paul was praying for the church in this scripture in Ephesians. And he's praying for the church, and he's saying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, it's a very interesting thing. If you're not a spiritual person, and if you are a traditional Christian, one that knows a little bit about the word because you grew up in the church, but you've never, ever known the living Christ, that you've never known him in his exalted position as being alive, you've never known except the historical Christ, you do not know God in wisdom and revelation knowledge. And in order to do what God has called you to do, That's how you have to know Jesus. Amen. You have to see Jesus from the point of view of the Father. You have to know Jesus through the point of view of who he really is, who he always has been, and who he will be forever. He's not someone that the devil can defeat. He's already defeated the devil. Amen? Now, if he's already defeated the devil, he can defeat the devil in your life, in every area of your life. The only reason why I stand today before you and teach you is because the devil was defeated when he tried to kill me, not once, but several times since I've been a minister. In fact, I can say many times. But Jesus has always overcome because my dependency was on him. When that time comes for you to go home to be with the Lord and he calls you, you'll willingly go because in your heart you'll know it's time. But until it becomes time, stand on his word, stand on his power, and believe him to do the impossible things for you. Amen. Whatever the devil's doing to you, Jesus has the answer. I can tell you that. Not only that, but he gives you that authority and that power that he has. He gives you that same authority and power that he walked in on this earth. He gave it to his disciples, and there are churches that say, oh, yes, but you don't understand. My pastor said the age of miracles is over. Some of those people are the first ones that go and find a person that is a healer when they get sick, because they haven't increased their knowledge and their power in the Word to get a healing for themselves. The age of miracles is not over. Oh, but you know, tongues have gone, because when that which is perfect comes, that which is perfect is not the Word of God. And that's what most of the pastors that teach that kind of stuff say. That which is perfect is Jesus. And that which is perfect is when he returns. When Jesus returns, we won't need miracles, tongues, or any of the gifts, because he'll be here, right? And so people can take the Word and just twist it so that if you don't know the Word and know your Christ in glory and power, you can get in a state of confusion. But always see a picture when you're seeking for Jesus. Always see a picture of Jesus in his exalted position, sitting on the throne of glory, sitting there for one purpose: to give you power, to take care of you, to enforce your words that you speak. You see, the devil enforces your words. A wizard told me one time, a former wizard, said we listen to their words, and if we hear them speak negative words, we go and get the demons to enforce those words. That's why you have to put guards on your mouth. When you speak, you don't just look at the problem that's in your life and say, oh, woe is me, I'm sick. Woe is me, I'm never getting out of this. Woe is me, I'm defeated. No, you say, hallelujah, my God is going to overcome this for me because he's powerful. And I'm in agreement with him, not the devil. Get your eyes off the problems and on to Jesus and his glory, and you'll overcome. He's made you to overcome. Amen? And that's what Paul meant in verse 19 when he said that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory in the inheritance in the saints. We all have to know what the hope of his calling is. All of us have to know that. We all have to achieve that overcoming power from the fiery darts of the devil. We all have to walk in his inheritance that he already gave to us. And just in the Old Testament, as those disciples walked in the inheritance to go and take the land, Joshua had to go fight to get the land that God promised him. So do we. We have to take the land that God has already gotten the victory for. And then one last verse, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So the power that you're walking is not in your power and not in your might. It's really not in your faith as much as it is in your connection to the throne, your relationship with your God. And knowing my God has greatness and authority in his power. His power is sovereign. His power is above all powers on the face of this earth. And he can do anything and everything that I'm asking him to do in my life. Amen? Okay, God bless you.